time for a sofa upgrade? Introducing Anabe Sofas, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices. Every Anabe sofa is modular, allowing you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabe is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquids simply slide right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink-in feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today. Sofas start at just $699 with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get early access to Black Friday now. The biggest sale of the year can save you up to 60% off, plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show on CBS Audio Network. John Tamney, the columnist, the editor, and now the author, John Tamney, When Politicians Panic, The New Coronavirus, Expert Opinion, and a Tragic Lapse of Reason. The markets have now reacted, late March of 2020, but government is getting into the contest. Government in the states, Mr. Cuomo, Mr. Pritzker, Mr. Newsom, and the other governors, have issued orders. It is not clear at this point to the American people that these orders are going to be enforced by police power, although the state governments have that option, the city governments have that option. It looks that the governors are counting on Americans to do the right thing. For how long is an open question. There are different expectations. But at no point, and Mr. Tamney, I check with you on this because my memory is dim, and your book states very clearly that the governors indicated early on that this would not last a long time. Did they give a timeline, John, how long the lockdowns?
They talked certainly about 2 weeks. That was the word, because the view was if people will go and hide for 2 weeks, that will flatten the curve and that will give hospitals the time to adjust. But as we know throughout history, once you hand over that kind of power to someone else, it's rarely given back, and it certainly wasn't in this instance.
I only know New York City because I was walking the canyons by myself in late March, April, May, by myself, John. The American public responded to the experts, and you roll out the experts. I don't fault them, John. They don't have crystal balls. They go on models. They go on expectations. There were a lot of contradictory remarks about the virus, what it would do, who was most vulnerable. You don't fault them either, John. The puzzle is why it was the experts who became the leaders of the economy. There's the mystery you've raised, John. Was it obvious in late March that the economy was going to have to obey the expert epidemiologists, the expert disease control speakers from Washington? Did people think, well, I'm going to have to wait till the experts speak before I know what my businesses were?
I think they started to realize that. And that's when the crisis began, in a sense. And that's when the economic crisis began. You put it well. I don't fault the experts. As you pointed out before, we've talked, what are newspapers but the first draft of history? Well, so is expert opinion in many ways, the first draft of what's ahead. Let's go back to the AIDS scare in the 1980s. No less than Anthony Fauci wrote a paper saying that AIDS could be easily spread just by a husband to his wife standing in the same room. How little we knew. It turns out he was incorrect. Doesn't make him a bad person. That's what he had to work with based on limited information. And so in this case, once again, we're working based on limited information. We have information from China, once again, indicating that it wasn't an indiscriminate killer, but we don't know much. And so when you then empower experts to make so many decisions for so many people, you logically create crisis. It becomes self-fulfilling. It may be that Anthony Fauci, if he went to a Yankees game, because he's a baseball fan, would be the smartest person in Yankee Stadium. But all the fans in that stadium would collectively be smarter than Fauci. And what I've just described is markets at work. Why do they work so well? Because they bring in the knowledge of everyone. And so suddenly we were substituting broad knowledge in the proverbial marketplace of humanity for the very few people, hence crisis, hence mass unemployment, hence mass business death. We added central planning on top of political decrees.
John, let us take an example of a pandemic and a different world reaction. You point to December of 1968. I'm old enough to remember December of 1968. I was at university. And a flu, not a coronavirus, but a flu, came from, well, at the time we said Hong Kong. Who knows where it came from? But in any event, the analysis afterwards was that it came home with soldiers returning from the Vietnam War. And it spread very quickly in December of 68 through the winter of 69. I remember being very ill in February of 1969, and I was very young, and with my immune system was very powerful. You have statistics here that say that there were 100,000 American deaths with that flu in the winter of 69 into the springtime. And if we use that number, 100,000 in 1968, that's the equivalent of 250,000 deaths today, given the size of the population. Mostly it was over 65, people who were over 65, similar to what the coronavirus makes most vulnerable. What was the reaction of the markets, John, to your research, and to the politicians at the time, to your research, John? How did they react?
The markets didn't react at all because life went on. And politicians couldn't much react. There were in small instances school closures, but no one could really do anything, and we all know why. Everyone's job 50 years ago was a destination. If you had shut down the economy 50 years ago, there would have been mass riots such that it would have been reopened probably within a day, or maybe less than that. Politicians could not do what they did because there was no Zoom, there was no internet, there was no Peapod or different grocery stores that could deliver things to your door. There were no, quote, as I put it in the book, subhumans to deliver restaurant food to your door that, of course, elite Americans said, don't knock on the door, just leave it on the doorstep. There was no way for people to have stream videos back then. There were not even Blockbuster nights. So lockdowns would have meant great discomfort for everyone. And so politicians logically did nothing. If you'd been walking New York 50 years ago, the canyons would have been very full because people were going to have to get on with their lives. And so you hit on something very important that I talk about a lot in the book, that, again, what happened could have only happened in modern times.
John, there's a puzzle. We'll take it, the chicken and egg problem, and we're not going to solve it today. Did we lock down because we had to? Or did we lock down because we could? There it is, John. Technology gave us a tool and we used it, not thinking through the consequences of using such a powerful tool. Next time, because we have to or because we can. We're going to turn to what happened in 2020, because though the state governments weighed in with their flatten the curve or 2 weeks or a momentary to disrupt the rise of the virus to allow our hospitals to catch up, the national politicians had much bigger plans, sometimes known as a command economy. When politicians panic, John Tamney. I'm John Batchelor.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
Hey, it's me, your heart. Mind if I pick the next song? Listen, even though we're eating better, people who've had one heart attack are at higher risk of another. But Repatha Evolocumab plus a statin lowers LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, and our heart attack risk. So let's talk to our doctor about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site. View the important safety information in our banner. Listen to your heart. Ask your doctor about Repatha.
Love the night? Reach for Zin After Dark, a limited cocktail-inspired series for those who get up when the sun goes down. Try Zin's Mojito, Spiced Cider, and Espresso Martini nicotine pouches. Find them at select retailers. Available while supplies last. Zin After Dark. Bring on the night. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.